Hello and welcome to another Zav Chat. Great to be with Bill Dougherty and Wilbur. Morning, boys.
Morning. Morning, Shane. Great to be here again, Wilbur.
Morning, Mr. Dougherty.
We've had our Year 12 information night. We're sort of heading towards that end of Year 12, mate. It's exciting, but it's also probably a little bit daunting. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's the final sprint. I sort of put it to the boys. We've got 48 days now to our English exams. Whoa. So, yeah. We're getting closer and closer, but yeah, as closer we get, the more we come together as a team and lean on it, the people around us, our family, the school, our teachers, and ultimately the boys that we're doing it with. So it's a good time. It's a busy time. Yeah. And looking forward to getting into it.
Perfect. And
Bill, I'm suspecting this, but you might verify that a lot of people who hear Zav Chat probably aren't aware of the breadth and the amazing innovations in our whole curriculum offering. Am I on the right tram or not?
You are on exactly the right tram, and that is the focus, you know, that we really want to shine a torch on today, Shane. There's a lot happening in the space, and so, you know, within individual faculty areas and extensions to faculties and then into the curriculum design itself. So why don't we get straight into it? I'd love to introduce, we've got three special guests, but to kick along, our Director of Learning and Growth, Monique Daly. Monique, welcome. Great having you here again, and the crowd are excited as well, so as they always do when we introduce our special guests. But, hey, Mon, you know, there's a lot happening in the space. Maybe, though, before we get into it, why don't we introduce our two wonderful co-members of staff?
We've got Azura Alberi, teacher of Italian and assistant head of house, and we have Emily Jackson, teacher of English, who also coordinates our special Xavier Writers Club.
Oh, fantastic.
Welcome, Emily. Welcome, Azura.
Good to see you, ladies, and we'll come to you shortly. But, Bill, let's have a chat to Mon.
But there's just plenty happening in the space. I think a little while ago we made reference to, you know, one of my favourite sort of nights of the day, of the year, which is the Your Voice. It's a collaboration with Loretto, a wonderful bit of display of creative work in both literary and visual, a really beautiful occasion where our boys were just energised by this space at all sorts of different levels, junior students right through to senior students, and some of them have been doing it for some years, collaborating with the girls from Loretto to produce and have a work published. But they're not the only ones who are published, and we'll shine a bit of a torch on that today. But, Monique, there's heaps happening in the space, isn't it, of curriculum?
There is heaps happening. And we've just had a ethics in AI conference occurring this week with our partners in school.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about that, because this was really and a dean from Monash as well present. So tip in.
Yeah, so we teach a course called Algorithmics in Year 12, and it only runs as a 3 and 4 subject, and it's quite a bespoke and niche course and subject. And the students at our school and also at John Monash Science School, we partnered together to host an ethics and AI conference. So not just talking about what AI can do from the lens of computer science, but also why we should use it for good and maybe the boundaries of its use as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Brilliant. And we had a special guest. So our keynote speaker was Professor Nicholson. And Anne Nicholson is the Dean of Monash University's Faculty of IT. And she has a specialisation in artificial intelligence research. And if you have a little bit of a search on what she does, it is all connected to the sustainable UN goals, and there's some excellent connections with medicine and, yeah, if super interesting person and fabulous for our students to be able to sit and listen to her speak about ethics in AI.
These are just great opportunities for our boys to engage in other and in collaboration again with another school. We're a big believer in sort of partnering with others and sharing ideas and thoughts, and it really extends on their capacity. Sorry, Mon, you keep going. You're on a roll here.
But... I'm on a bit of a roll.
Yeah.
I went into the Costco library yesterday during the event, and you could hear the thinking in the room. And I was introducing myself and chatting to our lead teacher, Jeff Ryan, who is leading the day, and also our special guests. And they were running a problem-solving activity about you know, critical thinking in terms of why we should use AI and the boundaries of it in terms of ethics. And they had to put the different lens on through different stakeholders as to, you know, the benefits and, you know, think critically about what is that boundary in its use. And I think it's such an important wrestle for students to have, to think about different viewpoints, to critically think about impact and how they can use what they're learning at school in their next step of their pathways, but also be conscious consumers of technologies and AI. So it's not just about content. Mm. It's also about we're growing people and enabling them to think critically.
And also responsible users. It's so great. As you're chatting here, I've got a fond memory also of I'd often walk on little tours that I might do with prospective families in through the steam room over at Burke Hall and know that they were engaging with our little year 5 and 6 students in exactly probably not to the same depth and not with the input from a dean, but with the same conversations around ethics, you know, as they were starting to sort of make some really great stuff with their 3D printing and some robotics. Of just thinking through, you know, licensing and games, and do they actually have permission to be doing this, and what are the other considerations? So it starts in our program at a young age. But
I'll tell you what, you've hit a high bar when we started talking about innovation in curriculum to come in with that one, Mon. That's just amazing. Can I be just the average parent for a minute, not at the level you were just talking of algorithmics and blah, blah, blah? I reckon the minute someone heard the letters AI, I think every person's beacon went up. So I want to ask you, Bill, you, Mon, and particularly Wilbur, is AI part of the life at Xavier yet? And if it is, how's it being used? And Wilbur, you'd be great to hear a student answer as well.
Well, I'll kick along and I'll throw to Monique and over to Wilbur, but I know that there's a certain, I think I could speak on her behalf, Director of Learning and Growth, who, you know, will often sort of test out her, you know, her learning intentions for a class with regard to sort of probing into this particular area. I mean, we've just introduced a few guidelines, which we're probably expecting to continuously update for our staff and the use of it, and wanting to make sure also that there are certain things that are, you know, that are private, that are thoughtful, that are sensitive, that are IP of the college, and certainly when it comes to student matters that sit within our ecosystem and within our instance. So, we'll leverage obviously our co-pilot through that, but then, you know, wanting to make sure that staff and our boys have got some freedoms to explore in the space. But, you know, I think this algorithmic start with the ethics that underpin it and how we go about using it is so critical. Yeah. Mon, I'll throw back to you and to Wilbur.
We have ChatGPT and AI generative tools available to students and to staff, and it is such an ever-growing and morphing field where, you know, different models are available, and we have staff who are dabbling in designing models that can become learning coaches for students. So anonymizing data so that we're not in breach of any privacy, and putting student results in and seeing what is the common threads, and then what can our teaching next step be, how we can put in wades of information and help it to make sense, and then look at trends, threads. And, you know, in that use of AI, it is not doing our job for us. It is enabling us to be higher performing, to be, you know, I guess more efficient in some ways. And in terms of the learning coach, maybe Wilbur might have some insights on how students use it. I know that they do use it for study notes, palm cards, quizzes.
Oh, that's so interesting.
You know, all sorts of things. So it doesn't have to be on the fringe of IP and you doing the work for us and submitting an assignment. There is so much value add that it can do. And, yeah, in the space of designing models and data inquiry and, that's where we want to sit.
Wilbur, where do you reckon? Is that the student coalface?
Yeah, I'd just start off by saying that it is used to a great extent, and it is an ever-evolving space. It's almost like every day someone finds something new, a new program, a new GPT, as they call it, which is a new sort of AI program to enhance their learning. And I'd just say as well that we're trying to figure out how to use it in a way that's not outsourcing our brain, and that's a big thing that Mr. Maloney, my English teacher, says in terms of using AI, especially in preparation for SACs and everything. using it as a tool rather than outsourcing your critical thinking and your brain. And I think there are programs coming forth so often that help target your thinking in a way that enables you to think critically about what you're actually learning and not just sort of spoon feed you the answers, which is a great thing. I know Bond University came in earlier last week to give a talk on what they offer as a school, and they actually mentioned that just recently they've committed to embedding AI into every one of their programs slowly in the next couple of years. So it is evolving, and I feel like if you don't embrace it, then you'll sort of fall behind, and pretty much all the students know that.
It makes me smile because we want them to be, as I said, conscious users of technology and not just to be, you know, dabbling, but actually have some guidance on its use, think critically about where they sit in terms of that ethical lens. And, yeah, thanks to Mr. Maloney for his guidance in English. I think that's awesome. Every English teacher's probably, you know, he's seeing students use things like Notebook LM and, you know, those really great tools that just help with administrative study and pulling together some resources and such. So
it's good.
Super tools.
Microsoft are coming in to speak with the executive team in a short period, and we've had a number of engagements with them. So, you know, we've got some great friends of the college, you know, from board right the way down. There's expertise that we're tapping into as well. But I'd love to bring even Azura or Emily into this conversation as well. You know, are there things that you're doing in your workplace? Maybe Azura, start with you, and in the area of languages, you know, where's AI present and how are you leveraging it?
Yes, it's interesting that Monique mentioned Notebook LM because I find it's an incredible tool in the languages space because it's actually able to produce podcasts in whichever language from a script that you upload in a PDF document. And the podcast sounds like native speakers, and there's usually three of them talking to each other and just generating language that sounds 100% natural and perfectly in line with whatever script you've uploaded. So I've done this recently with our cultural product in Italy, which is Dante's Inferno. And I had this handwritten document that I put in this AI tool, and the result was this unbelievable 20 minutes long podcast with three people involved, completely AI generated, and I was absolutely blown away. And I'm using this with the students in Year 12 to practice their cultural product. So yeah.
Isn't it? It's exciting, and I think that's our tone at Xavier. We're embracing it, and we're looking at all these great possibilities that are emerging from it. But also, it's great with a very typically thoughtful and reflective lens to make sure that our steps forward are measured. Azura, why don't we continue to bring you into the conversation? You mentioned Dante's Inferno, so I mean, you've been part of something that we haven't done for a while. So why don't we tip in at one of the great innovations coming out of our languages and our Italian?
Yes, thank you, area. Bill. First of all, I'm very grateful to be here and to be able to talk about this because myself and Trista Soni, who was also involved in this project, were very, very taken aback, really, by the results that we achieved by joining the Dante Alighieri competition once again. I believe the college took part in this poetry competition before COVID and before I joined in 2021. And it was something that we were interested in exploring again. So this year we decided to ask for volunteers in our year 9 to 12 space for students to learn these poems and recite them in front of judges at the University of Melbourne. And obviously our results were more than we would have expected when we first joined because we got...
Before you tip in...
Yep, okay, sorry.
How many... It's a significant competition, isn't it?
It's a very significant competition, yeah. It's very prestigious. It's been going... But the Institute under Dante Alighieri has been going since 1896 and it originated in Florence, but it's now in all continents in the world.
Number of participants?
So in Victoria, we've got 2,000 participants. Correct. So it's a lot of Italian language learners. And
all
we
right.
only realised...
Let it loose. Yeah. Let's go the results.
Yeah, so we first went with 15 boys and they all volunteered to take part, and they had a choice of three poems that they could recite. When we got there, Trish and I were quite amazed by the amount of kids that were actually there from other schools, and I think next year we're probably going to approach it slightly differently. We might actually bring more kids.
Yeah.
But, yeah, out of 2,000 kids, so it was several rounds, we made it to the finals with seven. So that was remarkable. And the finals had 200 kids there on the day. And by the end of the day, we bagged two first prizes and one third. Yeah, I would like to mention the names of the students. So we got a third prize for our year nine in the native language category, which is Oliver Higgins. And then we got Luca Gottoli, also in the native speaker category, got a first prize. And the most amazing prize, I have to say, because obviously there's not that many native speakers, but there's a lot of second language speakers, was our year 12 Lucas Murphy. He was absolutely unbelievable to the point where at the end of the day, the judges came to us and said they'd never heard anything like that ever. Right. And they knew from the first time he recited, he was going to be the one. And he recited a piece of Dante's Inferno. So that was incredible. Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that an accomplishment and a half? But again, I love the fact that we're in and participating. And these are great experiences for all 15 of them, not just for Lucas, the top end of the line. And congratulations. We're like, well done. Your reflections on how the students, what they got out of it?
Yeah, I think it was getting them, they felt a bit like they got out of their comfort zone, but it was still a very positive and energizing space to be. And I think that their parents were also very happy they were participating, because a lot of those parents apparently took part in that very competition themselves when they were in school. So that's how long it's been going. So
isn't that a lovely bit of circle filling in? But it's just wonderful to hear. And the gold is always when you get out of your comfort zone, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, for stretch and growth and self-confidence and belief. You just take that step out there, and that's a wonderful reflection for our boys, and obviously quite extraordinary results. Yeah, Wilbur, sorry.
Yeah, just on the area of innovation as well, I'd just like to say that I'm very grateful for the work that Miss Daly and her team are doing in putting together a revision program on the holidays. A lot of teachers are coming in voluntarily, spending that time helping the Year 12 boys in the first week of holidays, and it's a first for Xavier, and it's a piece of innovation that I think is really going to help all of the Year 12 cohort on that journey.
So we'll see. Why don't we bring Emily into the conversation? Mon, you throw this one.
Yeah. So Emily Jackson runs our writers club at our school, and that includes students from all year levels, and it is hosted in our Costco building. And if you are around, you'll see a room that has some very special decals and things on the wall and some nice artifacts that inspire writing. And last Friday, we actually entered in the Write a Book in a Day competition as well. So Emily might talk us through the competition and some of the participants, and maybe even lead us into some of the publishing work from students, which is that innovative and specialness.
Emily, welcome.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, great. Take us away.
All right. So last Friday was our event, which was Write a Book in a Day, and that's a national story writing competition. This year we entered three teams into the competition. So all in all, there was 19 students taking part, and they arrived at the school bright and early at 8 a.m., and that was when they received from the competition their parameters, they're called, which are elements which they must include into their stories. So prior to that, they had no idea, who their main character needed to be, what the setting was going to be. So there's no sort of pre-preparation. They have to start from scratch at 8 a.m. and they worked all the way through and submitted their books at 8 p.m. that day.
Wow. And that's isn't that just an accomplishment in and of itself? And again, just the ability to conjure this up pretty quickly.
An unbelievable accomplishment. And I think it's so good that it gives them a really authentic, real world experience to apply some of those things that they're learning in the classroom and put it into something which will go out into the world. The books are made available to children in hospitals on a digital library, so there will be kids out there actually reading their stories and getting that benefit.
Isn't that real-world application great? And am I right in saying that it's Kids Cancer? Is that the
yes,
charity?
So it's a fundraiser for a charity called Kids Cancer Project, and they did a wonderful job of fundraising. They've raised over $4,000. So that's great. And then also their books will be entertaining kids. Yep.
I must admit, I love that orientation too, where not only it's the accomplishment of simply writing a book in a day, but when you know when you understand the cause. I've never forgotten a little bloke who, when I was having my appendix out as an adolescent, having a little fellow in bed beside me who was going through cancer treatment, and it just put what I thought was a really critical issue for me at the time right in its place, and so I still remember this little fellow being read to. Having certain programs coming on his television and him laughing and giggling through that. And so to think that our boys are contributing to that, stimulation and energy for these people is special, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really does connect them to some people who are on the margins.
Yeah, great.
Emily, sorry, Bill. I know there's been a big push in the college for boys to be reading more. Is there any link between writing a lot and then a thirst for reading? Are they interconnected?
Oh, absolutely. I think they feed into each other. I think that writing is a great way to inspire reading, and reading is a particularly great way to inspire writing. And, we were talking earlier about AI and how that's being used around the college, and I think something like Write a Book in a Day, where they don't use AI, gives them a really nice set of skills alongside what they're learning with the new technology, where they do have the confidence to know that they can use their own self-expression. And as Wilbur said, they don't want to outsource their own ideas, their own brains. So they're able to have that sense of accomplishment in that space as well.
Emily, there's been a few also other significant publications. Maybe just tip in here. I mean, yes. Our boys are doing some amazing things,
incredible,
aren't they?
Incredible things. So we've got Thomas Cicheldo in Year 8, who's just become a published author. Yes, he's spent... He's spent a lot of time this year working really, really hard to produce this wonderful book, and he was working alongside an author called Karen Comer, who is somebody that the students really like to read her books as well. So she was coaching him and supporting him, and he's produced this really terrific story.
Wow, it's just amazing, isn't it? And again, in collaboration with others, and you don't have to do these things alone. And when you get the stimulus of a published author, it's wonderful stuff.
Yeah, I'm just putting myself in the shoes of a parent again, and I'm thinking, okay, you can go to the Xavier website and you'll see pretty fantastic, actually, expose of the entire curriculum. Mon, I know you've put hours and hours of work into that. So any parent can get to that, see that on the website. But I'd say to you both, and probably to you too, Wilbur, in terms of innovation in curriculum and the breadth of our curriculum, where do we sit in Victoria in terms of the rest of the country? Is Victoria actually progressive? Because I know, Bill, you've spent time in other states as well. And then Xavier, because when I look at it, I look and go, wow, there's real breadth there, but you're the expert.
We're on the cusp of curriculum change with Australian Curriculum 2.0, and I think that when you look at something on a website and it's mandated as a teacher and you look to VCAR's study designs, for example, that's just quite vanilla in terms of a package of what we should teach and the levels that students should be meeting at. At Xavier, the specialness is about how we teach, the units of work, the resources that we use, the texts that we ask students to study, the diversity in also the authors that are selected and the types of film and media they get to watch. It enables them to stretch that thinking and it gives life to that very vanilla curriculum. So what you'll see on our website are our curriculum guides, and we're very proud of them as a learning team because they really showcase the specialness and the unique package and framework that we have as a liberal arts school, the breadth of variety that students can choose, but also it shows the expertise in our pedagogy and the ability to select units of work and resources that pique students' interest and make them stretch. Okay. So we're not just teaching the curriculum, we're doing beyond that.
And I think it's great, as particularly as you go from 7 to 10, you know, gone are the meat and potatoes days of just going, oh, we're just offering
history. That's what I was getting at,
And some of the things that we grew up with is a very, very staple diet, but there's true innovation and there's a thoughtfulness of how do we have these continuums and threads that go through that are actually also stimulating for learners, particularly at that, you know, really critical 7 to 10 stage. Mon, there's been a bit of, you know, interesting work around the Year 8 space, with another university in another state. So
So we've just had acceptance into a conference that is being held in New South Wales in Newcastle with a researcher that we partnered with. And so we're very excited about how those Year 8 subjects actually came about through a research project into collaboration and cross-curriculum design. We also have a new exciting subject at Year 9, starting a business, entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And that's had some great take-up with students.
I'll bet it has. That's
going to add life to, you know, commerce and accounting and thinking about them as, you know, entrepreneurial people that can be creative and,
And also helping to be a little discerning as well. So, you know, often, you know, boys are they know they might want to be in the commerce, finance field somewhere, but I think sometimes it requires a little sophistication and deeper thinking rather than just sort of tumbling into that broad category. And so we're trying to nuance that at an earlier stage.
And just before Wilbur, you've both played a straight bat to my very controversial question. Is Victoria in the dark ages up against these other states, or are we quite innovative as a state?
I'd go and say we're innovative as a state. I think we've got flexibilities in curriculum design that some other states just don't have, and we're a little bit more prescriptive. But then within that, it's whether you're prepared and bold enough to actually take some of these elements up. And as you were pointing to already, Shane, you know, a quick glance through that curriculum documentation, you don't have to be a genius here to work out these nuances and the innovations that we at Xavier are bringing into the program. Mona, I trust you're not in disagreement there.
Nodding.
Now, Wilbur's willing to jump in.
Oh, yeah, just answering your question, Heels, about how I see the innovation within the school. I think it's also in the spaces as well. Like, we look at the Costa building and there's a space for the Writers Club and there's a space for learning. And I think I walk into the arts quarter and I had a look at Lou Connolly's a Year 12 student's portfolio, and he's working with a kiln and these pots, and there's just so many opportunities for him to express what he wants to do and his ideas. And I think through providing those opportunities and through those different sort of niche spaces is one way in which we're being innovative. It's the spaces in which we learn. And I know Mr. Doherty's big on that.
Yeah, I think the spaces do, design influences behaviour and opportunities. And it's a lovely reference, Wilbur, into the arts quarter. And, you know, bringing all of our artistic subjects together into one place and having, you know, it's named the arts quarter, you know, rather than just block or something like that for a reason. And when other younger boys can actually look up to Lou's work and some of the other senior works that are occurring, and we're about to have a great Creative Arts Festival, obviously, in a few weeks, the beginning of next term. You know, these inspire younger boys to step up. You mentioned the Costa building. You know, you've got some subjects in there. Younger boys are sort of getting a sense of, wow, look at, you know, it might be David Maloney's English class. You know, and that's a great crossover. He's got two Year 8 English classes, and he's a senior teacher of English and literature in the past. These are good things.
Here's Wilbur as we go around the grounds.
Thanks, Hills. Yeah, it's been a busy week at the school. On Monday night, obviously, we had our Year 12 information night, which was good. We learnt about all the things that's going to happen in our celebration of our journey here at the school. Mm-hmm. We've also got Are You OK Day tomorrow, which is a huge day on the college calendar. We'll be doing 9 push-ups at lunchtime for the 9 Australians who die by suicide every day. Obviously, we wish it was none, but We're doing it in solidarity for those people and to sort of embolden mental health in today's day and age. Yeah, so that's a big day for the school. We've also got Ollie Stewart, the vice captain of the college's voluntary mass on Friday. So, yeah, we've had a bit of a break from voluntary masses and now we're getting back into them. So, yeah, super excited for that one. Throughout the week, we've also had the Year 10 Gauntlets, which are retreats that are compulsory for all Year 10s. And from my experience, it was such a fun day. Sort of learnt about your group that you're with in Year 10 that you spend the majority of your time with. And it's a bit of time for discernment and reflection with some also very fun activities.
And the fathers, I might just throw in Wilbur as you go through, had a fantastic barbecue and mass for Father's Day last Friday night. Hundreds and hundreds, big, big numbers.
Couldn't agree more. And the responses and the singing, it was a real, yeah, I felt it was great. A powerful mass. It was really wonderful. And they're in their numbers as well. You know, we've had two reunions. I think we've actually got one tonight in Singapore.
Correct.
I've had one in London.
Last weekend.
And again, some great, you know, that's the great OLSAV network alive and wells.
Yeah, we've also got House Athletics coming up, Mr. Doherty, which is huge. I think we've got the sign-ups today within our house groups. So, yeah, that's a big day for the school. And I believe that's next Thursday.
Tuesday, I reckon. Yeah, next Tuesday, Wilbur. And it is a super one. It's, you know, our little preps ones and twos have a little bit of an involvement there, which is great. And, you know, I had a fond memory of them being tunnelled in last year. And, again, little blokes, you know, being around the older students as well. It's a lovely influence. Great. All of our staff are there and it's our second one. So we'll build on last year. Hopefully that rain will stay away.
I think the forecast is okay at the moment. Yeah. We got a classic day last year for the first one. But look, it's time to thank our guests, Mon. It's been a really interesting Zav chat.
Appreciate it.
It's great.
Nice chat.
And Azura and Emily, wonderful having you in. Congratulations on, you know, and thank you for leading those tasks that you do.
Right. Thank you.
It's inspiring for our boys.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, great job. Bill, we've got Lou, who Wilbur mentioned around the Creative Arts Festival, has actually signed up to join us in about the first week of Term 4. So I'm looking forward to that around the Creative Arts Festival. Next week, we're going musical. I'll give no more clues at this stage, but it'll be another ripping Zav chat. Wilbur, Bill, thanks.
Thanks Shane. Seals.
You've been a lot of fun. And Michael Trappett, you deserve another thank you.
Cheers,
well
Trappy.
Done.
Well done, Trappy.
And we'll see everyone 7 days hence.